everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Yes, I got some sleep last night after that storm kept me up the night before last, rumbling and grumbling and raining very, very hard.
You know what all that rumbling sound is, don't you?
No.
It's the Olympic gods bowling in the clouds up there.
Yeah, there you go. Good advice, sir. Interesting point of view from Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Today is Thursday, August 12th, 2021. It's the Buckmaster Show, and we are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We're so proud to have them as our naming rights for the studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed 24/7 from KVOI.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is the lone Republican on the five-member board, and Steve is with us in studio today. Mr. Christie, how are you?
Great to be here in studio with you, Bill.
Your district is the Mount represents also your constituents up on Mount Lemmon. What are they telling you? I have, in my 33 years in town, and you've been in here town longer, have you ever seen the Santa Catalina mountain range this green?
Never, not once. And it's I drive north, like on Craycroft in the morning, and I see that hue. That green is so lush and so vibrant. It's amazing.
It's Maui in the desert.
Yeah, it really is. And then, of course, my constituency runs south down to Sonoyta, just north of Patagonia. They're telling me, my constituents down there, it's like Ireland. It's a phenomenal change from what we're used to here in the desert. It's beautiful.
Maybe a once-in-a-lifetime thing for
maybe
us. So really get out there and take some pictures. Mount Lemmon, we're hearing unofficially 30 inches since early July.
I believe it. And if you look at the mountains today, you know they're getting drenched.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And I think Tom Fairbanks was saying that there's another system that's coming in reminiscent of what we had 3 weeks ago, where we had a two-day rain, all-day rain.
Seems like right around Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just coming into and getting into the weekend, the heavier rains seem to be joining us at that time.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to happen again this weekend.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Seattle has 100 degrees today and dry.
And we have no fires.
No. And no fires. Thank goodness. All right. That meeting on, what was it, Tuesday, just jam-packed.
Yes, it was.
The new numbers show nearly 3,000 cases of COVID, nearly 300 in Pima County. Are you worried about what's going on?
I certainly take it all seriously, and we should always take the COVID issues seriously. I think what is the difference is we shouldn't overreact or give knee-jerk reactions to these things without thinking them through thoroughly and positively and sensically. And I think with our robust education plan that's been in effect for over a year and a half on how to interact in the community with this virus, as far as what we do with each other and what we do with ourselves and in terms of keeping us healthy and free, I think we've got a pretty good handle on how we can not only mitigate transmission, but if we do get the virus, that we know there are plenty of avenues available for mediation and remediation between medication and treatment. And certainly it's proven that vaccinations work and help reduce the effects of the COVID, keep you out of the hospital, and more importantly, keep you alive. So I think it's a matter of perspective. There are those, of course, that want to capitalize on this whole issue and with a great deal of melodrama and kind of hair on fire situations. Well, I think that's a bad approach to this because we need to be calm, we need to be collected, and we need to look at things in a very realistic manner and realize that this virus will be with us for a long time. We need to know how to cope with it. But most importantly, we need to have it part of our lives in a much more normal setting.
Dr. Hines was with us, Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, one of the five members, one of your colleagues on the board. And he is just really not a happy camper about all of this, because he put together a package that he brought before the supervisors, you and your colleagues, and it was defeated by a 3-2 vote. He says you and the others who voted to shoot this down are being totally irresponsible. What do you say to Dr. Hines?
Well, he did suffer a devastating defeat. I mean, he presented a number of resolutions.
It was a package.
That were all soundly defeated, I think he's reeling from this embarrassment of presenting those things, and understandably so, by not only the presentation of the resolutions, but by his comments and actions during and after the meeting. It was embarrassing to him, and it certainly was a resounding defeat. I look at it more as a victory for common sense and for freedom and individual liberties for our community, as well as looking at things in a very clear-eyed manner, which he tends not to do. So I can understand him being upset. If I incurred such a loss of that magnitude, I'd be upset too. I'd be embarrassed, and I would try to read through the tea leaves that maybe the community is reacting to this from the standpoint that they won't tolerate or stand for the types of resolutions he was introducing.
Now, there is a meeting on Monday, it's an odd thing that normally you don't have, kind of back-to-back meetings, like week to week. They're usually some spaced out, but I'm not quite sure why all that's happening. But there is a meeting early next week, and Dr. Hines says on our show, as you were listening yesterday, he's planning to reintroduce this package.
Well, I don't know how he's going to be able to reintroduce anything that was just defeated, because you can't do that. Only the prevailing side can ask for a reconsideration. He obviously was the losing side, and devastatingly so. So unless one of the other of my colleagues, either Supervisor Scott or Chair Bronson, reintroduces those same resolutions and puts them on the agenda for reconsideration, I don't see how he thinks he's going to be able to reintroduce anything. He lost, and he's not on the side that can reintroduce things.
Now, what about mandatory vaccinations? Are you on board with that?
Not at all.
What's wrong with it?
Well, it basically rubs against the basic fundamental rights of individuals to make their own decision as to whether or not they want to participate on their own, under their own will and volition, in a medical procedure. This idea of mandating and what happened at the meeting was mandating was segregating and isolating certain groups of people. And that to me is even more egregious, because it's putting some group against another. And I look at the one resolution that all Pima County employees must be mandated, or they're going to lose their job. And if they don't lose their job, they might be subject to regular testing. And that testing is expensive and will come out of their pocket, or with increased health insurance premiums. That is a wrong message. There's no carrot. It's all stick. We should be trying to be positive about encouraging vaccinations, about getting healthy, about losing weight, about utilizing zinc and vitamin D, and getting out and enjoying the sunshine and the fresh air, rather than hammering on people that they have to get vaccinated and threatening them. That's wrong. Second of all, we've got a very professional group of some 6,800 Pima County employees, career-minded residents in this town. And if they, at this point, can't make up their own mind, that, to me, shows a certain arrogance and hypocrisy of trying to mandate to them that they have to be vaccinated.
Now, do you want to set the record straight? You've been, the impression in some of the reports are that you're anti-immigrant.
Absolutely not.
Were saying that, quote, a foreign population was allowed to travel through the county unvaccinated.
Yes, and that was completely mischaracterized, because what I was trying to show is we're isolating and focusing on one group of people that they have to be mandated to be vaccinated. When they live here, they have jobs here, they are part of our community, this group is being forced to do something perhaps against their will, yet other folks that come into our community that don't live here, that haven't gotten legal status, that by the own words of Pima County may have a high degree of infection rate, they're allowed to travel freely, exposing COVID potentially to volunteers chauffeuring them around. People can't, that sense of proportionality does not make sense.
Should all of them, all asylum seekers, be screened for COVID at the border?
Absolutely, and I don't see that's any different than what many countries do, and certainly if you're going to make mandatory vaccinations for Pima County employees who live here, it only makes perfect sense that those who don't live here, who have not yet gained any kind of citizenship status, who come from who knows where, carrying who knows what, it only makes sense because if you're going to say that the super spreaders, if you're going to intimate that the super spreaders are Pima County employees, then why don't you say the same thing about those who are coming into this community from other countries?
And what about your own past dealing at your dealership? How did you handle people from other countries?
Oh, well, everybody's money was green that came into my dealership, and I had a wonderful relationship with numerous customers over the years from across the border and from across the world that would come and visit in Tucson, have winter homes here, or come up for shopping to make sure that they got accessories on their Jeeps and things of this nature. I welcomed them with open arms. And in addition to that, I was very proud of my employees. I had, for many years, two Vietnamese technicians who were just absolutely fantastic. I wish I had a whole shop full of those two. And I had a terrific relationship with them. They were loyal, hardworking, really good, talented employees. All I wanted to do was fix and sell cars. That's all. I didn't care who did it or where they came from, just as long as they were able to perform their job.
Let's take a break right here. It's Buckmaster with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, 790-2040, if you would like to add to our conversation. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back with Steve Christie.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining It is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things is all ready for your fall planting. Oh my goodness, what a great time to get some color in the backyard. I know it was a really tough go of the drought and everything. Not that the drought isn't over, but we did have an historic month of rain in July, and August is shaping up to be perhaps equally as wet. So now would be a great time to go buy Green Things, 3384 East River Road, and get your fall color ready for the backyard. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. It's been raining a lot over in Green Things. It has been raining a lot in Green Things, but also in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Very pleasant over there. Temperature's kind of about what we're having right now from all the moisture, but it would be a beautiful time of year to travel that three-hour drive to Silver City and enjoy the Gila National Forest, which is looking incredibly beautiful. Saw some pictures the other day. So great time for a road trip. Start your planning at visitsouthwestnewmexico.org. Steve Christie is with me in studio. We're talking about the meeting, a lengthy meeting with really a lot of items. A lot of newsworthy items coming out of that Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting Tuesday, including this business with Tucson Water charging unincorporated residents more. There was a resolution, I think, urging the city to rescind the recent actions that created this differential rate system.
Yeah, definitely. And again, there was another issue coupled with that the city is prosecuting as a campaign to do some sort of a power grab or shakedown on county residents and regional residents. And that has to do with the weighted voting issue on the Pima Association of Governments Board and the Regional Transportation Authority Board. Mm-hmm. They're maintaining that they deserve to have more influence on the votes that come forth of projects of policy,
which would in a way give them the final say, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. And the thing that keeps being pushed away or under the rug by the city of Tucson is, as an example, with the Regional Transportation Authority, they're coming across like they're some sort of a victim in this whole process. But they, over the last 20 years, 15 years, have been the recipients of over 62% of all the revenue fundings and monies that have come in to the RTA.
But the city, in your opinion, is being characterized, or they're characterizing themselves as a victim and not getting their fair share.
Exactly. And the last 5 years, which we are in now over the original RTA, the city will be getting 92% of all of the funding and all of the projects. And it really, as I noted in the meeting Tuesday, that all of the projects that the city is the lead agency on that are still remaining have all come in late and over budget. They just can't deal with getting any kind of program put together, and yet they're posing themselves as the victims of this non-weighted voting, which really is the fairest of all. One vote for one jurisdiction, and nobody has power over the other.
Do you think they're developing as an obstacle to the future of the RTA?
At the rate they're going, if they don't get what they want and get the recognition or the influence that they're looking for, I see evidence, and it's perfectly obvious to me that they're going to pick up their marbles and leave the playground and do everything they can to subterfuge and jeopardize any kind of reauthorization for the Regional Transportation Authority.
And you were involved with that whole planning for the 20-year program.
I was. I was on the original Citizens Advisor Committee that put together the regional plan. Then I served.
Weren't you on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board?
Correct. I served for five years on the State Transportation Board, which gave me a seat not only on the Pima Association of Governments, but on the Regional Transportation Authority, which I chaired. And I was in that seat, in that position for 5 years, representing Pima County on the State Transportation Board. So I have a kind of an intimate feeling about the RTA and its success. And obviously, it's been the best example of regional collaboration that we've ever had. And for the city of Tucson, all of a sudden, to try to flex its muscle and to make itself out as some sort of a victim and appear as that it is their right to insist on having the final say, the influence, the weight in all decisions that affect the region is disingenuous and misguided, and it's really kind of scary to watch how they all work in unison. All the city, the council, and the mayor, they're all in this together, and now it's permeating over into the Board of Supervisors. I'm seeing that with at least two of my colleagues who want to join forces with the city.
You're talking about Adelita Grajava and Dr. Hines?
Correct. And they want to be very careful about dealing with this because they don't want to upset the city of Tucson. Well, my whole point is, what would happen if we did the same thing the city of Tucson did to Pima County? What if Pima County turned around and say, listen, we're just out of the blue arbitrarily going to raise the sewer rates for all residents of the city of Tucson? What would happen then? And now we're involved in that very same kind of tit for tat. And I believe there's going to be legal issues here. And I've always said this is going to end up in the courts and the city of Tucson will lose.
All right. Let's quickly get your thoughts. You were the lone vote dissenting on the board going. It was a 4-1 vote, pulling nearly $40,000 in funding from the Arizona Bowl, which does their game on New Year's Eve. The title sponsor is Barstool Sports, a digital media company focused on sports and pop culture. You don't like this decision of the board to pull that funding?
Not in the least, and it represents probably the worst elements of elected officialdom, and that is political grandstanding. This was an opportunity for all four of my colleagues to assuage and cater to the far-left radicals who obviously are controlling not only the political environment that we're in, but the actual elected officials in both the city and the county, and to basically slap a Barstool down after they've given $20 million to charities and their whole listenership is in the millions, that would put Pima County and Tucson on the worldwide map, give it a name, give it exposure, help tourism, economic development, all these wonderful positive elements that this would bring to our community. And on top of that, to slap in the face the leadership, the founders, and the committee of the Arizona Bowl, who have worked so diligently with such selfless commitment to bring this together, to secure Barstool as a sponsor. These folks that are working with the Arizona Bowl represent the best and the brightest in Pima County. They are the sterling examples of community leadership and judgment, and I trust and back their leadership and judgment in choosing Barstool.
Yeah, but what about the comments that were made, the documented history of offensive and inappropriate comments by the Barstool the founder of Barstool?
I in no way defend them. That was something obviously that didn't come to the forefront during the discernment period of securing them, and probably understandably so. Many of these comments that you're referring to were over a decade ago. I mean, to hold a wonderful opportunity to really enhance the prestige of Pima County and Tucson with this Arizona Bowl being sponsored by Barstool over some comments that were in a whole different venue, in a whole different realm, under a whole different set of circumstances over a decade and sometimes a decade and a half ago makes no sense to me. And I think my colleagues are going to be the recipient of a lot of dissatisfied people, not only in Pima County, but across the country.
All right, Steve Christie, get out there and enjoy the beautiful views of the Catalinas.
Oh, not only that, yes. And I got to add just one more thing.
Real quickly.
I love being supervisor. So.
Oh, that means you will be running again for supervisor.
It's a very possibility, very big possibility.
Thank you very much, Steve Christie.
Thank you for having me.
Have yourself a great afternoon. All right, the Buckmaster Show at the Midway Point in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Also, we want to talk about our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back, Buckmaster, on a Thursday. And by the way, tomorrow we've got Fred Duvall, who is the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents. He will be sharing the latest about the three state universities and their COVID requirements about masks coming up tomorrow. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
It's time for the CEO interview series on The Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization. Representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America, Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $30 billion, with 182 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 53,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And this afternoon, we continue our discussion on Sun Corridor, Inc.'s post-COVID economic recovery plan. It's known as the Pivot Playbook, which focuses on five areas: company recruitment, talent and acquisition and retention, workforce development and training, shovel-ready in real estate and tourism. Joining us now on the live line, Alex Horvath, Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer for TMC Healthcare. Alex chaired the Pivot Playbook Subcommittee on Talent Recruitment and Retention. Also with us, Laura Shaw. Laura heads up Sun Corridor, Inc.'s marketing efforts, which include promotion of Tucson and Southern Arizona to site selectors and also focusing on potential talent. Laura and Alex, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Great. Laura, great to be here, Bill.
It's great to hear from you, Laura, as well. What was the motivation behind Sun Corridor, Inc.'s Pivot Playbook? How did that come about? I assume that was something that just wasn't developed overnight.
No, not at all, Bill. Well, actually, we really started looking last summer at, as COVID was coming about in March and April, and things really looked kind of, dire in the summer. Our chairman circle and board got together and said, what can we do? We're going to get out of this eventually. We don't know when, but what can we do right now to begin to think about what's needed in a post-COVID recovery? You may be fully aware, but we've gotten just a number of great rankings over the past 15 months or so. Since COVID started, I think in my 15 years here at Sun Corridor, Inc., I've never seen so many great rankings of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Many of them were rankings about how folks across the country, both in the site selector community, but as well major analytics firms like Moody's were saying, mid-sized markets are really poised to recover from this this COVID situation much better than larger urban markets. Mid-sized markets can spread out. There are more open spaces. And Tucson, as you know, is just great for outdoors activities and well-being. So we knew that the rankings were good, but we also knew we had to focus on some gaps and some opportunities to pivot and shift and come up with some strategies that will really take advantage of these rankings and poise, us to recover much better. We also had done some research during that time. This was research that we did with site selectors across the country back in November of 2020. And just to remind your listeners, site selectors are our main clients. We do also work with companies directly, but there is a very robust industry of folks called site selectors or site selection consultants, and they really manage about 80 to 90% of all corporate relocations across the country. They are a small group, relatively speaking. There's probably only a few thousand of them across the country, and also the main ones handling our targeted industries and many major corporations. There are only about 400 or 500. So we are able to build relationships with them. We're able to survey them, and we surveyed them last November asking for, how has COVID changed your processes and the landscape of site selection? And we surveyed them for that reason, but we also surveyed them because we wanted their input into the recovery plan. And they just gave us some tremendous insights, and I'm happy to talk about those further, but I can I can stop here and let Alex chime in.
Yeah, we can circle back to that. Alex, you chaired the talent recruitment and retention focus, and Laura was pointing out how important this small group, but highly influential people, the site selectors. So where does talent recruitment stand as an overall factor in site selection decisions, Alex?
Bill, it has really moved to the forefront. It used to be the overall site selection, transportation, location, but it has really moved to be the number one factor. And for us in our community, we have such an advantage because we're able to recruit talent to Tucson, and we're able to, for the most part, retain talent in Tucson. There's been some significant transformations with the number of young people and individuals graduating from our great universities and community colleges and so forth that stay here now. So individuals, for those site selectors making decisions about what meets the community and how they can meet their need to grow in the future, talent really has driven that decision now. And we know that it's not a short-term decision. It's one thing to be able to meet the needs, but most of these organizations that Laura and Sun Corridor and influential people in our community are able to bring here want to look at how we are poised for the future and what that pipeline, you know, of talent looks like and how strong is it. So it's really moved to the forefront, Bill.
And they want to know that there's the educational foundation here, and we have that certainly with Pima Community College and the University of Arizona, Alex.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. There are so many unique programs and really significantly nationally rated top programs that bring students here. And then with what we have to offer in the community, it's our job collectively to help launch careers and keep people here. And bringing these great organizations here as new employers or expanding employers, you know, helps in that overall continuum. For sure.
The research is showing there's been a major change, Alex, in who's in charge of mm-hmm. making some of these decisions. I find that fascinating. There has been a real movement now to take it. Well, will you explain how that has changed?
Well, absolutely, Bill, that it is fascinating, and it's been a kind of a metamorphosis over time. Years ago, obviously, large employers, medium, small, would build a facility, would create a where they wanted to be, where they wanted to locate, and people would follow. Jobs would be created. Individuals would migrate, flock, move to where the jobs were. But now we're finding in today's market that the ability for individuals to decide as a particular specialized employee or really any employee where they want to work is their decision. And they will decide. And now we're finding organizations looking at where is that talent? Where is it in supply? Where do people want to live? Where do they want to raise families? Where do they want to, create their life long plan or and be part of a community? And we're finding that employers are looking for those places where the talent is now and where the talent will remain. So it is a big, significant turn from what it used to be. The one thing that I would point out with that we also see happening with the remote work and the number, everybody knows somebody or themselves who has been a remote worker, who has been a telecommuter, who has been able to work at home. Organizations now are seeing that as both a blessing and a curse, because they, of course, can have employees work from anywhere, but so can anyone else. So having for us a community and an environment that supports individuals that might be moving into a hybrid where they have to come into the office a couple times a month, but otherwise working from home, you know, is an important consideration as well.
Laura Shaw of Sun Corridor, let's bring you back in. When you're talking to these site selectors, what are they saying is the future, working at home or an office setting or maybe a hybrid?
You know, we're really seeing most recently, I believe a lot of site selectors are saying that it will be likely a hybrid. You know, there's been a lot of media out there saying everyone's going to be working remotely and, you know, everyone's cutting out their leases in these commercial spaces all across the country. We don't really see it that dramatically, and our site selectors don't see it that dramatically, and our, you know, investors here and our board members here, folks like PICOR, Seabury and others, you know, we're really thinking it'll be a hybrid. What that actual definition of hybrid is for each company may be different. And so I think time will tell, but I think working remotely is probably here to stay in some form or fashion, but we don't think it's going to be all or nothing.
All right, we've got more to cover with Alex Horvath, the Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer at TMC Healthcare. Also with us on the live line, Laura Shaw from Sun Corridor, Inc., and we're talking about the Pivot Playbook and how important talent recruitment and retention is. We'll continue with our conversation with Alex and Laura right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where we continue our discussion now on Sun Corridor Inc.'s post-COVID economic recovery plan. It's known as the Pivot Playbook, and there are five focus areas, and right now we are focusing on one of those areas, talent and acquisition. And we have Alex Horvath with us, the Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer for TMC Healthcare. He chaired the Pivot Playbook Subcommittee on Talent Recruitment and Retention. Laura Shaw is also with us on one of the live lines. Laura heads up Sun Corridor Inc.'s marketing efforts. Alex, let's talk a little bit about some of the, I know Gallup did a survey about priorities that workers are considering when or where they decide where they want to live. What are some of those priorities?
You're right, Bill. They really all focused on quality of life, and they included, which was no surprise to us based on what we've been through over the last year and a half, so to speak, safety and security of an area. Also, stability during challenging times for individuals. Wide open spaces, as Laura mentioned previously, how important that can be during any time people are either confined or are looking for other ways to socialize themselves. And then finally, a sense of well-being. And those four, we find that really support what many individual employees that are already here and other workers, you would say, are employees that we're convincing, trying to convince that Tucson is a great place to work. These all factor into decisions either to move or to stay.
And Laura, does your research that you've been doing, and I know you and your team do extensive research, does that kind of play out with the current trends in site selection?
Yes, definitely. You know, I mentioned a research project that we did last November, and when we went out and surveyed about 60 to 70 site selection consultants, really when we dive deeper into, you know, what factors are really becoming most important as a result of the pandemic. And there were really several factors that also align with what Alex was just talking about. The first factor is actually the state and local response to the pandemic. You know, are these communities like Pima County, City of Tucson, the state of Arizona, are we adhering to public safety standards in order to avoid future shutdowns? And that really aligns well with the safety and security aspect of what talent is looking for. The second area was, site selectors are looking at areas with lower density and real estate that enables physical distancing. We know a lot of our real estate market is looking at floor plans and office space trends now that do allow for that physical distancing. And, you know, we've always been a lower density market, and that really aligns well with what talent wants. Talent these days need to have enhanced digital and technical skills required of a remote workforce, especially if they want to work remotely or the company would like them to work remotely. And some of the most interesting research came about in the incentive category. We're looking here at Sun Corridor Inc. About really meeting with our partners and looking at what kinds of incentives are really needed post-pandemic. In the prior real estate-focused incentive world, you know, a company would locate, they build a physical building. The incentives are normally built around the commitment to that physical building. Well, now we may need to look at incentives that take into account remote workers. You know, should there be childcare-related incentives? Should there be, you know, an office in a box for your home office? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of incentives. It's really a wide open stage right now nationally, and we're kind of excited to dive into that a little bit more.
Alex, tell me about the bottom line recommendations out of your committee, and how did the young professionals, where do they fit in?
You know, let's start with the young professionals, Bill. We find that years ago, individuals would leave Tucson after exiting and graduating from school at a much higher rate than they do today. So there's a real great retention factor here. So we want to make sure one of our recommendations is that we have the resources, the support available for young professionals. That is both at the collegial and social perspective level, but also from a professional level. And that individuals who are wanting to start careers here have the support available. And that includes individuals who have been in that career before, individuals who can support them through local groups that have already been formed and that can continue. We also know that dual career families, individuals with two individuals working that are either here or coming into the community, the resources to make sure that whether their partner or spouse also can get a good job here. And so we are looking at the coordination from employers, both medium, large, and small, to be able to have jobs available and posted that individuals coming in the community can look at and access and find more about. And then probably one of the most significant for us, and I know that Laura will probably talk a little bit more about this, but a kind of a one-stop shop, a coordinated, what's been put together is called thriveintucson.com, but a one-stop shop that allows an individual to get information on all those key quality of life, educational decisions, where to live, what the trends have been here. We as an organization, others use this website, and we're thrilled that it exists now. And this is a great resource that organizations and individuals can use.
Laura Shaw, is the new website thriveintucson.com online and live now?
It is. Thriveintucson.com is live right now. This is a project I've been wanting to do for many, many years that's focused really on talent attraction. And so when you go to that website, you'll see it is, as Alex mentioned, a one-stop shop of Tucson and Southern Arizona resources, information geared to prospective talent of any age. So the website content includes quality of life. It includes our recent rankings and key statistics about living and working here. It also includes cost of living. Talent from outside the market is always interested to see what is the cost of living, of course, in a place I'm looking to move to versus where I live now. It also has a section on, where you could live, who our notable employers are. And actually, one thing we didn't really even think about building until we actually talked to the talent committee, and Alex headed up a committee of HR professionals from many of our largest employers, from Roche to Caterpillar to TEP and others. And they said, list the notable employers, but also list the causes that we support, because many young professionals and others of any age really care about the cause that an employer supports. So we included that. There's information on the economy, on education, testimonials. So it's really a great resource. And actually, it's not only a great resource for talent, it's a great resource for HR professionals. And Alex mentioned his own staff and others on our committee are beginning to use this to say, if you're looking to move here to Tucson to someone they're trying to recruit outside the market, here, go to thriveintucson.com. Also, our site selectors love it. The site selectors love it because they can see we're attracting talent.
It sounds like you've got all the bases covered there. Laura Shaw and Alex Horvath, thank you very much. Good conversation about the Pivot Playbook and the talent recruitment and retention. And thank you both for being with us.
Great. Bill, thanks for having us.
Thank you. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of our guests and Tom Fairbank on the other side of the glass, have a great afternoon.